Today is December 10th, 2024, and you're listening to Space News First Up.
Did you know Space News offers four newsletters, First Up published Monday to Friday and sent at 9 a.m. Eastern Time? Military Space is sent out Tuesday, Space Next AI on Thursday, and on Friday, we send out a curated newsletter of the week's top stories in our Space News This Week newsletter. Visit spacenews.com to sign up.
Here are today's top headlines in space. AST SpaceMobile has signed a 10-year agreement with Vodafone for space-based cellular broadband services. Lockheed Martin will launch a 5G technology demonstration satellite on a Firefly Alpha rocket next year. Blue Origin says it is still on track to attempt a first launch of its New Glenn rocket this year. China's space situational awareness capabilities depend on space-based assets, according to a new report. Two members of Congress are pushing the FAA to accelerate the launch licensing process. And the Defense Department is struggling with supply chain problems affecting space programs.
First Up is produced by Space News, the industry standard for professional space journalism. Visit spacenews.com for breaking news, policy updates, and original analysis.
We begin today with news that AST SpaceMobile has signed a 10-year agreement with Vodafone for space-based cellular broadband services. Under the agreement, announced Monday, AST will provide direct-to-device services for UK-based Vodafone in its 15 home markets and partners in 45 other countries. Vodafone ordered a gateway as part of the deal to route data AST SpaceMobile satellites would get from smartphones outside terrestrial coverage into the telco's network and back to the user, enabling broadband and other services beyond the reach of cell towers. Shares in AST closed up 2.6% Monday after rising by as much as 16% earlier in the day on the news. Lockheed Martin will launch a 5G technology demonstration satellite on a Firefly Alpha rocket next year. TacSat, a compact spacecraft about the size of a mini fridge, is built on a Terran orbital Zuma bus, a platform Lockheed Martin also employs for the Space Development Agency's military network. TacSat will carry an infrared imaging sensor and a 5G communications payload, both designed to address the Pentagon's growing demand for all domain networks that seamlessly link space assets with forces on the ground, at sea, and in the air. TacSat represents the second collaboration between Lockheed Martin and Firefly under a multi-launch agreement between the companies. Blue Origin says it is still on track to attempt a first launch of its New Glenn rocket this year. The company reaffirmed the schedule for the NG-1 launch on Monday as it disclosed details about the payload, Blue Ring Pathfinder. That payload will test technologies for the company's Blue Ring orbital transfer vehicle while remaining attached to the rocket's upper stage during a 6-hour mission. While Blue Origin said that New Glenn is ready for launch this year, the company did not offer a more specific schedule. China's space situational awareness SSA capabilities depend on space-based assets, according to a new report. The study by the China Aerospace Studies Institute said that China has a limited network of ground-based sensors for tracking objects in orbit, requiring it to rely on spacecraft for SSA data. China has launched at least 10 spacecraft to low Earth orbit with SSA capabilities, such as optical and radio frequency sensors. China's approach contrasts with that of the United States, which integrates space-based SSA with extensive ground sensors. Two members of Congress are pushing the FAA to accelerate the launch licensing process. In a letter sent last week to FAA Administrator Michael Whitaker, Representatives Sam Graves, Republican Montana, Chair of the House Transportation Committee, and Rob Whitman, Republican Virginia, called on the agency to use all actions short of rulemaking to expedite the licensing process. Many companies have complained about the difficulty of using regulations known as Part 450, intended to streamline the process, but which have turned out to be cumbersome. Graves and Whitman pointed out that even if the FAA completes a license application within the 180-day deadline, that often comes after months or years of pre-application reviews. The letter came a day after the FAA held the first meeting of a committee to look at ways to improve Part 450. The Defense Department is struggling with supply chain problems affecting space programs. Some critical components, like encryption devices, have only single sources approved by the National Security Agency. manufacturers are still recovering from pandemic-related disruptions, and scaling up production from single digit to hundreds of units has proven more challenging than initially anticipated. That is impeding efforts by the Space Development Agency, SDA, to deploy constellations of missile tracking and communication satellites, its director, Derek Tournier, said at a conference Saturday. General Michael Getlein, Vice Chief of Space Operations, called the SDA the canary in the coal mine for broader industrial-based challenges. In other news, a NASA mission is still yielding science 20 years after a crash landing. The capsule for the Genesis mission crashed into the Utah desert in September 2004 when an engineering error kept it from deploying its parachute. Despite the crash, scientists were able to extract solar wind samples it had collected during its mission. After years of effort, researchers now say they are starting to do the really interesting science with those samples, the results of which will be presented at a conference this week. German thermal data startup Constellar won a multi-year contract from the German space agency DLR. Under the contract, Constellar will begin supplying 30-meter native resolution imagery to researchers working with the agency. The company plans to establish the High-Precision Versatile Ecosphere, HIVE, constellation next year to collect that data, building on a thermal sensor installed on the International Space Station in 2022. Former NASA Deputy Administrator Lori Garver has become a strategic advisor to another German startup. Atmos Space Cargo announced Tuesday that Garver had joined its advisory board as the company seeks to expand into U.S. markets. Atmos is developing Phoenix, a re-entry vehicle with an inflatable heat shield, with a first test flight planned for next year. The company is targeting commercial and civil researchers, as well as defense dual-use applications like point-to-point cargo delivery for the system. NASA awarded the Southwest Research Institute, SWRI, a contract for magnetometers on a NOAA space weather mission. SWRI will develop two magnetometers for the Lagrange 1 series project, part of NOAA's Space Weather Next program, under the $26.1 million contract announced Monday. The instruments will measure the interplanetary magnetic field carried by the solar wind to support space weather forecasting. Breaking Defense reports that United Launch Alliance expects to have Vulcan Centaur certified for national security missions within the next few months. Speaking at a conference Saturday, ULA CEO Tory Bruno said he expected to win certification from the Space Force momentarily, adding that the term means this month, next few months. ULA performed two successful launches of Vulcan Centaur needed for certification, although on the second launch in October, the nozzle section of one solid rocket booster appeared to come off, requiring further analysis. Bruno said no additional testing of the rocket is needed for certification. Space.com reports that SpaceX tested the booster for the next Starship test flight Monday. The company conducted a static fire test of the Super Heavy booster, intended for the seventh test flight of the vehicle. That mission is expected no earlier than mid-January, pending any additional testing as well as an updated license. The Artemis Accords will reach 50 countries this week. NASA is hosting two signing ceremonies Wednesday, one for Panama and the other for Austria, who will become the 49th and 50th countries, respectively, to sign the Accords. The Accords outline principles for safe and sustainable space exploration, based on the Outer Space Treaty and other international agreements.